This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
Hello and welcome to Lovers of Life, a series that explores Dublin's independent music scene in 2013. In this episode, we look at what a band can do to bring their music to people outside of Dublin. We talk to organisers of independent festival Knockin' Stockin'. Hugh from Von Shakes tells us what it's like being an Irish band in Brooklyn. The Minutes talk us through the pros and cons of showcase festivals. But first, we talk to Jim Carroll about this year's Hardworking Class Heroes Festival.
I suppose the main aim behind the Hardworking Class Heroes Convention is to give bands the brain food and the ammunition they need to get through a changing music industry. Yeah. A lot of people, this is the kind of thing, a lot of people kind of say, oh, there's no need for bands to learn stuff like that. And I kind of disagree completely. But if you're serious about your music, and even if you're just a hobby musician and you want to know like how to get stuff done, going to things like Hardworking Class Heroes Convention, which is completely free, is a really, really good way of doing it. It really is. It just helps. And it also, like, I suppose, brings this idea of innovation into place. For many, many years, the music industry was a place that was, I wouldn't say scared of innovation, but it shied away from innovation. If you go back to, I suppose, the major labels suing the ass out of Napster and people like that and trying to keep the CD boom going, that was one very clear example of a scare between the music industry and innovation. And in the last couple of years, there's definitely been a sea change. And a sea change that happens for many reasons. It happens because there's money coming in. The tech people have got money, and that's where music needs money. So that's where music is gravitating towards. But a more important change is that a lot of musicians are also tech heads. A lot of musicians work in the likes of Google and Facebook here in Dublin. A lot of musicians want to know more about technology, and they're very open to the ideas of technology, so it's a natural interface between the two. So the idea of innovation in the music industry has become something to, I suppose, to kind of embrace. Again, some people may argue that, like, oh God, it's PowerPoint presentations, it's pitching. It's not. It's just about knowing what way the wind is blowing and how it's going to change. I mean, 10 years ago, if I was involved in the Hardworking Class Heroes Convention, I'd love to have known what kind of panels I was putting on. I would have been able to kind of predict what's going on right now. And I suppose, we talked off mic about, like, I mean, how things change and, like, advances that happen on an incremental basis. Often it just changes every day. Often there's much more slower changes, long tail changes over a matter of years. And, like, one thing that's definitely changed in the music industry in the last while is just that innovation and disruption, those two memes in particular, you know. And I think for bands, musicians, and people just involved around bands and musicians, it's very important to kind of feed their brain to every possible opportunity with these things. Not, of course, that musicians should be solely about, like, you know, learning about the business side. I firmly believe that most musicians kind of, like, if they concentrate on writing amazing songs, that's all the business they need to do. But for a lot of people, they should know about this kind of things, especially if they're going to be releasing their own records, especially if they're going to be trying to be self-sufficient in many ways. She said,
The Noisy Plug Sessions is a gig exchange that organises nights in Dublin, Waterford, Kilkenny and Galway. I asked founder Hazel Davis what motivated her to start it up.
The reason why I started it originally, I'm from Waterford, and I found when I first started getting into music and stuff, that, like, the bands that I really, really liked were down from Dublin. That was, like, the first couple of bands I met from Dublin. If I tried to get anybody out, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't come out to see a band. They'd be asking me who they were. I'd try and give them videos, I'd do all that kind of stuff, I'd put them up on my MySpace account, my Bebo account at the time, whatever, like, you know, I'd try and promote them as much as possible, but they just wouldn't go. And I went, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do, like, this thing, Noise Plug Sessions, because I'm sick of people saying they don't know what's on and they don't want to go see bands because they don't know them and stuff. So what they get out of it, what a band gets out of it, is kind of like what they want to get out of it. Hopefully what I give to them is more for the bands that are kind of out of town. That kind of gives them a break in Dublin, like, you know, like anywhere else. Because Dublin is, for anybody outside of Dublin, is a big deal for people. Like, you know, if they haven't played there before, especially if they're younger bands. Now, their dreams can be dashed. Like, sometimes they get up here and they go, oh, that wasn't, like, what I thought it was going to be. But at least they've done it, and it's kind of like a bucket list sort of thing of, right, I've played Dublin, I can do that, right, that's okay, I'll move to somewhere else or, you know, do something else.
Presumably the converse is also true. I mean, I'm sure bands who are in Dublin and only play in Dublin want to get out and play around Ireland as well. Would that be, like, something that you aim to do as well?
Yep. The idea with, like, Dublin, anybody that plays Dublin and the Noisebook Sessions, anybody plays any of the Noisebook Sessions, the deal that I've struck with everybody is that they get to go and play another Noisebook Session. So in another like whatever one that I have on. So I have, like, you know, anybody from Dublin can go. If they want to play in Waterford, they can go and play in Waterford. Galway, Kilkenny, the same. I organise them with the people, say, right, these guys want to go down to Galway and play the night in Galway. So it becomes like an automatic connection then as well. So it's not just me kind of like negotiating. I'm not like a travel agent. It's not like I go, right, grand, I booked your flight and you're off. Like, you know, it's I make a direct connection with someone. So they also automatically have a direct connection with someone in Galway, which they might not have had before, who's kind of working in the scene or working with a bar or working with that kind of stuff. So even if that doesn't work out, they don't get to do noise book sessions, they can contact that person and that person can put them in touch with a bar that, you know, they might want to go and play in at some point in another town.
David from Almost Ghosts summed up his micro festival experiences.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. It's good. It feels like a shrunk version of Electric Picnic in a weird way. And it also has, I think, exclusively Irish acts, which is amazing. So any act you see all weekend, you're like, they're Irish. It's really good to have such a homegrown festival that's grown so naturally. And then even the view, like just the surroundings, I could see a mountain, some toilets and a beautiful lake and a bit of sun. So it's fantastic.
Knockin'Stockin' is one of Ireland's premier microfestivals. Bettine and Griffo, who are part of the team who organised the festival, explain to us how it works.
Basically, there was a few of us that were already on the Dublin circuit, like really brand new, fresh thing called Primal Deli Social Club. Mm-hmm. It kind of emerged from us seeing the lack of quality unsigned gigs that were going on that you didn't have to, you know, pay £8 in or see your band having to try and punt a load of tickets for, or your friends even punt tickets for. And I'd been in Ballyfermot with serious counterparts there from that were in a lot of bands that were struggling on the circuit. So a few of us decided to put a free gig together and showcase all these bands that were hot to trot and really delivering the goods compared to the bands you're paying into and limping along laborious gigs that were just barren, you know. So there were people like Sarah Redd, Donnie from the Hassle Merchants, Joey Sauce from the Hot Sprockets, Clodagh Curley from Varroa, and myself and countless others all in the same class. So it was like a kind of freak year. Right. And we rolled into Primal Jelly Social Club then for 2 or 3 years, and kind of off the weight and back of that, as it gathered momentum and went through from one venue to a higher profile venue to an even higher profile venue, then a few extra people who had kind of come along and sticking those gigs together, the accumulation of that year's work then would have been the first Knockin'Stockin' in 2007.
I asked Griffo what some of the problems that you encounter in setting up a festival like this are.
One being zero funds, two being little or no facility, and then three being having to knock on doors without anything to bargain with. So you're looking for industry standard kind of protocols and equipment, and you don't have you have no more than a friendly hello for these people. So on the whim and a risk element, you had to find kind of like-minded people in the industry that are willing to roll with them type of punches as they come, and then if you can stand by them, and regardless of how bad you've made the mistakes or how hard it was for you to kind of get it to that point, if you're still beside it as it's going wrong, after it goes wrong, I think that's where you kind of gain some merit. And then the next time those curveballs come your way, A, you know how to deal with them, B, you have people who can help you, and C, you have people who will think less of you as a risk factor because you've able to deliver on it before. So it's kind of, it's painstaking that way, because the first few years of us all being together, I won't put a figure on it, but we generated enough debt to sink even a big operation.
I asked Bettine to tell us a bit about what goes on behind the scenes.
I mean, it really starts to, like, October, November, you start to get the website ready, and there's a couple of us kind of grouped together and start to look at what's going on the scene right now and try to start picking some acts and to get our submissions open. I mean, the submissions is a huge, huge part of Knockin'Stockin'. And what we do is we have an open call for submissions and we listen. There's about 8 to 10 of us that listen. So we had about 1,000 music applications in to us last year. So that's it's laborious, but it's very fruitful as well when you're listening and you suddenly
you suddenly click on a band and it sounds fantastic. And then, yeah, there's, we really kind of start the team, like we moved into an office there in February. And like we were meeting all every week throughout the Christmas time, but it was really from February onwards that we were kind of in the office all the time every week and doing lots of meetings and in our little in our own departments, you know, whether it be like the marketing team meeting up every week and the art team meeting up, and obviously funding as well. Like actually the funding application really starts in October, so that's the first kind of hurdle, is trying to get funding. We've never been successful. We've knocked on the doors for the last 5 years, but. I don't know, the reasons, they kind of think, a lot of the arts councils of that think that we'll survive without them, and that, you know, we don't need them, which is not true, because we definitely do, and it could become a tragic story that everyone who's running this just says we can't do it anymore, you know, and then, you know, who will drive it, and it should be the arts council. They should be proud to put their stamp on it and go, we are supporting all these people who are willing to pull all the talent across the country into this one weekend and showcase them. It's really only then that we'll see it expand, is that injection of money. Yeah, so it's definitely, it's a labour of love, but it's a tough labour. And that's where, like, we, and as an organisation, we have, like, between like Dime Store Recordings and Jack of Diamonds Productions, we're always trying to help acts and, you know, push them, and like, you know, they come to us for help in like the things like marketing. So the likes of like Connor Linney, you know, getting help from Jack of Diamonds is great for him, and you're starting to hear him on the radio now, and he's always thanking the collective of people around him. So
we can't even get the same volunteers we used to be able to get, because they're all out on top dollar elsewhere, and we're still left with the same weird skeleton framework of the people who just can't get enough punishment and really want to do the gig, you know.
I asked CFIT about their Knock and Stockin' experiences.
Well, yeah, it's always like the few times we've been to Knock and Stockin', it's just a great vibe, because it's a small festival run by people who kind of, I was about to curse, who care. So, you know, it's kind of a labour of love. But yeah, no, part of the fun of it is kind of going around and meeting people, and, you know, the odd person will have seen your gig, and then you're able to chat to them, and it's you know, if someone just wanders in and sees your gig, that's one thing, but actually getting to hang out with them and chat to them, it's much, they're more likely to actually care and want to see a gig again and that kind of thing. So,
and I think with a festival like this, because it is so small and it's quite a local festival in many ways, that we'd certainly, from gigging around Dublin, we'd know a lot of the bands, and it's a great opportunity to kind of see all those bands that you liked and hang out with and meet throughout the year, and you know, go and watch their gigs and they can come watch your gigs, and then you can all hang out afterwards. Because far too often, maybe in Dublin, there's so many bands that you're kind of crisscrossing each other a lot, and you never really, there'd be friends and people you know, and you never really get to see them or see their band, and they're like, oh yeah, you know, here's our new EP, and you're like, brilliant, I haven't seen you guys in 8 months, you know, so this is a nice
call, you know, right?
Yeah, it's a nice chance to catch up with.
Best ever. And have you had a favourite act that you've seen so far? Yes. Who was that?
Queen Edward.
We had a good look at you. Cool. Have you been to Knock and Stockin' before?
Never. This is my first time Knock and Stockin' version. Yo.
And I assume you're enjoying it so far.
You're assuming right. You're assuming.
Was there any bands that you saw in particular that you really liked?
What bands? Twin Headed Wolf.
What's so cool about them?
What's so great about them? They're twins, they play the saw, they harmonize like nobody's business. They're unreal.
Cool.
Face Champions told us about their Knock and Stockin' experience.
It's great. I mean, we did a good few festivals last year, and this is like the first main one we've done this year, and just the buzz is deadly. It's just kind of, everyone's really up for it all the time, and everyone's really into just like unsigned music and independent Irish music.
I asked Bettine and Griffo what some of their favourite festival highlights have been over the years.
Seeing a guy that kind of muscled in a security contract with us chasing a tire 500 yards downhill at top speed, and in the meantime he couldn't even
understand how a wristband check work or a perimeter check or even didn't even the people who we had employed didn't even know who their boss was, and this guy was hightailing after a tire that was rolling down the field, and I was just like kind of summed up the whole let's work out how to get a proper security team to work our site. I said that was a comical moment for me anyway.
How about for yourself, Patty?
God, there's so many. Like, it's I suppose for me it's always when you see an act that you love rocking out to a really big crowd, like, and probably the first time I really experienced that was And So I Watched You From Afar in 2009. Mm. And they rolled in their own PA or something, so that it got so much louder, and you really felt the gig increase, like, and all the crowd were just absolutely loving it. And I remember I was sitting on a rock and I was crying because I was just so overjoyed that we'd gotten there to that point where there was, you know, 1,000 people in front of the stage totally absorbing this band and loving it, the band rocking out. And that's what we aim to achieve, is that quality stage, great band, and a really good crowd.
In the last 7 years, Ireland has seen a reemergence of microfestivals. The Hot Sprockets told us of some of their favourite festivals to play.
The micro ones you're talking about, yeah, they have gotten a lot more professional. They'll be competing with each other as well, and they get bigger and bigger as they go. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's mad.
Well, I love the ones that put effort in, where it's not just like stages and vendors, but they bring in like art, insulation, and sport, and not just music, but like crafts and art in general. Like, that's brilliant things. It's great. Like, people, like, there's so much people that are into that. It's so hard for them to get by on it, but stuff like that is amazing, mate. But like in Ireland, it thrived this year because of the weather. Like, that's why I didn't mind it this year as well, because there wasn't one festival I can think of that was mucky or rainy. But last year, like playing like whatever 15 festivals, and they're all just rainy and you're soaked, no socks and all. But like it thrives in good weather.
Yeah,
it was a great year this year. All the festivals had loads of people this year.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Mm.
Well, when you do loads, like, they can get rough when you're trying to do other shit, but it's awesome. It's good.
You're not tired of playing at the festival. You're tired of the time it takes up. Like, cause it's really time consuming, because you jam Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, like, for a good 6 hours or so, and then you'd be gigging like Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So you have one day off, but. And it's all the travelling to the festivals and stuff. And, like, love festivals, but like they're a lot of money as well for if you're a band, and like just getting food down there, camping out.
Sometimes you're a bit sick of like camping all summer, and all, you're like,
especially with the Irish weather.
But we like the atmosphere. Festivals amazing, and playing and all that side of it is brilliant. Like, we love. Like, I wouldn't change it anyway.
It's a great way of getting to audiences, like getting a big demographic of people, young and old, and people from loads of different counties all in one gig. Like, it's where you wouldn't get them.
Probably from all those little festivals that we got, like, fans from different counties and stuff.
Definitely,
starts with bands going to little festivals, so that's what it's all about. Like, there's some slamming ones, like the one in Thomastown, and all, like, get up. It's deadly.
Yeah.
Every Irish band's go play down there.
That's cool town, Thomastown.
In Kilkenny, it's good. Good crack. People are really nice down there, and they sure like the party.
I asked Stephen McCann and CFIT about their micro festival experiences.
Just to sort of get away from reality, and you can play our music, and people, like, we brought a couple of CDs and we sold them at the merch stand, and we had obviously the t-shirts, and they're sold out, which is great. I don't know how much we brought, but it's great, because, you know, you make your money when you come here, you know.
Yeah.
It's not about, I need to be paid so much money because I'm big-headed, you know. Mm. That's how I find a lot of bands. I mean, transport is fine because, you know, it's about 20 quid up here. It's not too bad. It really isn't.
We played Fantastival for the first time this year.
I love Fantastival. I really did. It was my first time.
Yeah.
Even actually hearing about it or going to it or anything, and I'll definitely, whether we're playing or not, I'll definitely go back next year. It's this year and maybe last year, last couple of years, we've really seen the resurgence of these small festivals. Ireland has always had a tradition of small festivals, you know, going back to the 70s, Macroom, the Guinness Blues Festival, Lisnoe and Varna, which were always sort of under 10,000 people, like the small festivals. And maybe in those, the glory years of the noughties, we went to the little bit crazy with mega festivals, which were, you know, unsustainable in a lot of ways.
But even like in on like I went to, as much as it's kind of obviously more corporate, I went to Longitude a few weeks ago, or yeah, a couple of weeks ago, and you know, that's a fairly small festival. Like, it was just really nice. And again, it's just because I think part of it is when you don't have those absolutely immense crowds where everyone just feels completely impersonal, you kind of feel like it's a weird little community. You kind of look out for people and stuff.
With something like Longitude, they also even had, like, you know, you got, they had a stage for artists who maybe weren't, you know, huge or whatever, you know, were up and coming in Dublin as well, so that kind of adds to it as well.
Exactly, yeah. So it's, yeah, it's just that it's that sense of community.
In 2011, Von Shakes went to America on a J1 to suss out being a band there. In late 2011, they relocated to the States full-time. Lead guitarist Hugh O'Reilly explained what brought them to Brooklyn.
The last, I think the two previous summers, we'd watched all our friends and stuff like that go off on holidays, and while we were stuck being like, nah, we're going to plow through and see if we can get some, like, you know, some good leeway in Dublin and other cities around. We'll try and get over to London or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we were just like, fuck this, you know what I mean? Let's try America. Mm-hmm. You know, let's get a J1, test the water, get one or two gigs booked on the sly. And that's what we did. And, like, we were pretty well received straight away. And, you know, we got hooked up with a college agent. And then, you know, our guy Dan at the end of the summer was like, look, let's make this a permanent move. Let's get you out here. And so far, it's been going really well, and we've been sticking out, and now we've got a new album coming out, so yeah.
And are you guys paving the way over there from an Irish perspective, or is there other bands from Ireland doing the same thing?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely other bands doing that. There's a band on the same label as us, I suppose, called Stand, who are, their new project is called Empire Circus. Mm. And they did the same kind of thing that we're doing. They did the college circuit, they did a lot of the Irish bars, they did the tour of, like, they went all over the country, and they had, like, they were pretty successful. Another band before them, or around the same time, called Mr. North, from I think a couple of lads are from Tala, same as the Stand guys, and they got signed by RCA. Honestly, it's the fact that we can make a living off the music, like, you know, there's like I'm not gonna like lie, I'm not gonna fucking beat around the bush with this. Like, there's some shows that we play that, like, we're still gonna only have maybe 20 people at, but then there's some shows that we've sold out and there's been 150, 200 people at it, you know. And the same thing kind of happened in Ireland. We definitely have more of a, like, we definitely have a stronger following now in the States anyway, I think, because I think a lot of people have taken a liking to the fact that we're Irish. They've taken a liking to our music, which I think in the last, like, year or two, whatever, the music industry, even here in Ireland, was just saturated with this fucking shit granola green tea music that I'm just so sick of. Like, what happened to good old, like, you know, four-piece, three-piece rock and roll? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, look at the band, like, the Minutes, man. They fucking rock. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they're taking off. It's good to see that kind of four-piece or three-piece rock and roll is coming back, and that's what we like stuck to our guns with. But I just think that the main reason, to back to your point, is that I think it's just the fact that we can survive on it because we're on the college circuit. Like, there's no college circuit here.
Yeah.
There's like hundreds and hundreds of colleges in New York State alone. Then there's Pennsylvania, New Jersey, the whole of the Northeast, and that's where we're kind of tackling right now. We've had a few little places. We've been out to Colorado. We've been out to Iowa. So we get those kind of once-off bookings, but mainly we're just kind of hammering out the Northeast of America right now.
Cool.
So that keeps the wolves at bay. You know, that's a real moneymaker.
Yeah,
that's. We are definitely not rolling, I'll tell you that much, Alan. Fucking, it's been some very, very tough weeks.
Yeah.
A lot of ketchup and rice for, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner and stuff. And, well, you know, that's what it's all about. Like, you know, you're gonna move out. You're moving to one of the most expensive cities in the world and trying to live there. You know, it's. It can get pretty hard,
but
like, I wouldn't change it up for anything, you know.
I asked Hugh what it would take to bring the band back to Ireland.
Honestly, it's like, I mean, if we got picked up, I guess, by some agency that was like, yeah, we'll put you on the road, fucking yeah. I'm like, but they're like, forget about America for now, you know. They're like, we want you guys back in Ireland, back in the UK. I'm like, all right. Well then, you know that's the nature of the beast, I guess. That's where the, you know, the music takes you, and you got to go where it takes you, I guess. Other than that, I'd say what would take me back is country kitchen rolls up in Howth. Maybe a bit of cafe choir thrown in there.
So for bands wishing to showcase their talents abroad, we talk to Niler 9 in the Minutes about festivals like Eurosonic and South by Southwest.
It's about targeting people and talking to them in advance and getting people there and getting them at your gig. The grubby stuff that nobody, most bands don't really want to do, but the ones that want to make a career but realise that they either have to do it or their manager, they have to hire a manager to do it for them. I mean, like when you see somebody like Villagers go over, and Conor went over and did a solo gigs, and he was already signed to Domino then, you know, and he just was basically cementing the groundswell of opinion about himself by getting written about in the New York Times and places like that, being on NPR, all those kind of things that help spread your who a band is or who an artist is. Or in the Minutes case, for example, who went over 1 year and certainly pretty much were there to shake hands with a tour manager because that's what the agreement they had in advance, that you know they go over and they do the deal over there and they play some gigs and you know they get a US tour manager out of it. And then you get other people like the Mighty Seth, who pretty much is there every year, but what he does is he does a tour around the whole of America before he hits Texas or afterwards. So, you know, he makes it financially viable as well as, you know, a useful thing to do for in terms of advancement of a career. You know, if you want to break Europe, if you want to play, if your music is suited to a European audience, go to someone like, some place like Eurosonic and play that, or The Great Escape, where those people will be. Even playing Hard Working Class Heroes now is really important because they now bring people over every year from foreign festivals who go and see all these bands, and then they're going to go, in the last couple of years where there's been an Irish showcase at the festival like Eurosonic, they brought 19 bands over to Eurosonic from Ireland that year because the guy Robert, who had come over from Eurosonic for Hard Working Class Heroes, had seen all these bands and it was like, they only initially wanted to bring something like 10 or less. And now it was like, well, I've seen all these and these are all really talented.
I asked the Minutes how important they felt it was to get to these festivals.
I think it's important, but I think you need to hone your skills first at home and you should be able to pull a decent enough crowd in your hometown first. Now, that's the way what we believed anyway, you know what I mean? There's no point if you're totally unknown at home and then you're going over to impress. Maybe you're not at the level you should be before going over to do a showcase like that. I mean, we did showcases like that back in 2004 in old bands and stuff. We weren't ready to go over there. We had no reason to be there. We had a lot of kind of bravado, but we maybe hadn't done our homework enough, you know? So, I mean, I'd say to any bands, yeah, those festivals are great, South by Southwest is great, but the competition over there is immense. Like, there's 1,400 bands playing at that, you know, in a given week.
I think the thing about it as well is you need to have your homework and your actual work done beforehand. So you need to be going over to meet people that you've already made contact with. You can't go over there and just hope that Johnny A&R is going to come in and sign you, because it's not going to happen. Like, most people, I think, really have their deals. If they've signed them with bands, they pretty much have their deals set up, or if they've working with agents, they'll be just sort of there at South by Southwest or Eurosonic to just meet them and, you know, say hello. It's more like the agents showing off their acts to other agents, like, look who I've got, you know, I've got these guys are great, and then do you want to put them on in Poland or wherever, like, you know. So
9 times out of 10 it doesn't happen like that, you know what I mean? It doesn't happen like, oh, we just got signed from some guy like passing us on the street, just saw our gig. You need to do your homework and you need to be a good live band. And you need to have some kind of crowd or some kind of buzz about you, because labels nowadays, they don't have the money to put into doing the groundwork like development deals like they did 10 years ago. So they're looking at a band that's already ready to go. Have they got a crowd? Can they pack a room? Can they pack a small venue? Yeah, they can, and they've got a bit of a buzz about them. And they're proactive, and they're not just going to sit in, hand you a big check and go, you know, go make an album. That's not how it works anymore, you know.
Some guy actually, just after the gig that we done there, some guy just asked me, he came in and he was like, looking at my pedals, and he goes, oh, just chatting away to him, and he's like, what, you fucking 40 questions, like, you know what I mean, asking me everything. But he was asking good questions though, but sort of, he said one thing, like, you know, what do you do? Like, I was like, what do you mean, what do you do? Like, how do you get to where you want to be? I was like, just don't stop. I was like, somebody tells you you're shit, well then just move on to the next person, or find somebody else, or just don't listen to them, just keep on going. That's the only reason that we're here now, like, because loads of people told us we were shit, or we weren't what they were interested in, or we're not their cup of tea, like. But that sort of makes us really go, all right, well, fuck you, on to the next one.
You made me come such a behind against.
That's all for this programme. We'd like to thank everybody who's been involved in this broadcast, Near FM, and the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland for their continued support. In this programme, we heard music from Conor Leaney, Almost Ghosts, Punchface Champions, Von Shakes, and The Minutes. For more information, see nearfm.ie/lovers of life.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.